You're welcome back to this special pre-election debate featuring candidates from Donegal South West. In studio with us in this debate are Councillor Frank McBurty of the Labour Party, Deputy Dina McGinley of Sinn Féin, Senator Brian O'Donnell of Fianna Fáil and Anne Sweeney, Independent. We were also to have been joined today by John Duffy of the Green Party, but unfortunately, because of problems, he was not able to join us today. So unfortunately, John Duffy of the Green Party couldn't join us today, but he is contesting the election on behalf of that party.
Does anyone know that Denny has joined Sinn Féin?
I beg your pardon. Deputy Dina McGinley is, of course, a representative of Fine Gael. I do apologise for that. I want to put a point to all of you. Everyone at some point or another has mentioned young people, and one of our listeners has sent in a question that says, on the one hand, politicians are talking up the young as the future of our country. On the other hand, children's allowance has been slashed, third level grants are being reduced, fees are being increased, it's difficult for young graduates to find work. In the case of nurses, their pay is being cut and eventually possibly taken away completely. This is the age group we rely on greatly to turn the country around again, but at every turn, we're doing them down. Is that not a serious contradiction? On the one hand, we talk up youth. On the other hand, we take every chance they have away. Frank McBurty.
Well, Fianna Fáil policies have left our country broken, and we have to fix a broken country. And there's going to be difficult decisions that have to be made. Fianna Fáil policies have caused people hardship. They've caused carers who look after their families at home are being forced to put their families into private hospitals, put into the public sector hospitals for care. Home helpers have been drastically reduced under the Fianna Fáil government. Social welfare, people who are being made unemployed, especially the people who are self-employed, can't avail from the social services or social welfare that they're entitled to. And mortgage relief is one of the biggest problems that we're now going to encounter over the next 2 years. Social welfare officers around this county are not being fair in the way they're dealing with mortgage relief. And the other issue is that we have to deal with the mortgage holders who are in negative equity. Immigration, 1,000 people a week are immigrating out of Ireland, and we have to address these problems, and the only way we can address these problems is fix what's broken, and Fianna Fáil have broken it, and that is the issue here. We need to have better ideas. We need to be able to create jobs that the young people are going to be able to avail from in a new government that's going to fix the problems that are broken. But the issue here is that we need a new start. And the only way that we can have a new start is, I have to agree with all the speakers, we have to work together. Well, whatever the makeup of the next government is, all politicians have to work together to get Ireland out of the mess they're in. But Donegal, especially, we've seen it with the student nurses, we've seen it with Letterkenny Hospital, different protests, different parties promising this and promising that. The promises need to stop. We need to fight, and we need to work and ensure that we have the cancer services that the people of Donegal are entitled to.
I need to move on with this point.
The North West has to be categorised as a centre of excellence for cancer care.
We are straying off the topic, which is young people.
We should have a regional hospital so Letterkenny Hospital can avail
from. And you have made that point. Dina McGinley, last night on the televised debate, your party leader said the pain will continue and everyone is going to share it. That sounds like cold comfort for people who are looking for some shred of encouragement, who are looking to be told that it's going to get better rather than worse.
Unfortunately, that is the situation as it is, Donald, that everyone is sharing it at the moment from the top down to the bottom. But certainly, people who are in social welfare and in the lower income brackets, they can ill afford to take any more. I've been going around, even people who are working in the state service. I met someone on Sunday in a canvas in my own area, in the state service, teacher, who has 29,000 per annum cut off his wages between bank levies and between health levies and between income tax and all, and we just cannot allow that to continue to happen. Now, you mentioned young people. Young people, certainly, it's a cliche almost that they are our greatest asset. And here we are, bright young people, after graduating from the LYIT or different other institutions of this country, and they are going around without any job or any immediate opportunity of employment. I was in Glencullen, Kilcarrick, Kilcar last Friday night at a meeting, and from that small parish, 7 young people left last Saturday out of one parish. the same day to go off to Australia. And there are highly qualified people, engineers, technicians, nurses, you name it, who are leaving. People have been so well educated, and that is a terrible drain on the resources and the future resources of this country, that we're losing this vital part, this vital cohort, age cohort of our population. Now, certainly we had to get them jobs, we've got to get the economy moving, we had to employ the stimulus, and there are a number of imaginative schemes that we have come up with in other parties as well, that some of these young people should be taken on, even though they're only going to get the, shall we say, the job seekers allowance, that they're brought into industry, they're brought in and given work experience until the economy opens up again, and there are incentives there for the employers as well, reduce the PRSI by 50% to give an incentive to take these people on, because if they do leave, they won't all come back, unfortunately. It happened in the 50s, it happened in the 80s, and it seems to be happening again. And it's all down to one thing, that governments in the past only planned till the next election. Governments in the future will have to plan for the next generation, and I don't think the Irish people will tolerate anymore when a government gets in. Now, there'll be an election a few years' time, and how will we prime the economy to get back in again? That's a thing of the past. We have to plan in future. Governments in the future will have to plan for the next generation, what's going to happen in 20 or 25 years' time.
Breena Donal, you have stressed your own relative youth, and I'm sure a lot of those people who are moving away, a lot of those people who are finding it difficult at the moment are your contemporaries, are your peers, are people you know. What can you say to them?
Well, it's very disheartening for us all as a people to see our most educated and talented people having to leave these shores in search of employment, whether they go to Australia, where many have gone, or Canada or other places to try and find work because they're not able to obtain the work here in Ireland. It was one of the key areas which I focused on during the recent by-election campaign, where I fought hard and impressed upon government ministers to create a graduate internship programme. I sought to have 20,000 places made available under that particular programme to allow unemployed graduates to obtain employment. The budget announced that there was 5,000 places to be made available. That was announced last December. The first places will be made available to graduates, including anyone in Donegal who wishes to apply, from March of this year. So graduates can apply, they can obtain up to €400 per week in either a semi-state company, a local authority, or in the multinational sector. That's a start, but it doesn't solve all of the problems. The other area which was touched on there was the nurses, the fourth year nurses, and I've received a lot of complaints from a lot of parents and indeed nurses themselves due to the fact that there was a proposal to cut the pay on fourth year nurses. I was totally opposed to that. I lobbied very, very intensively the HSE and the Department of Health and the Department of Education on this issue, and I'm glad that it's now been reviewed, and I'll be doing everything possible if elected to Dáil Éireann to make sure that the terms available to fourth year nurses will be retained. I think what we need to do as a country is repair the economy. The only way we can help people is not by making promises that if in government we would do X, Y, and Z. I think people have spoken that we have to work together as a country, as a parliament, as a Dáil and the new Dáil, to make sure that the jobs are created. Because if the jobs are created, it will give our young people opportunities to work within the sector here in Ireland. I mean, if you look at the positives, there is 1.85 million people working. Ireland is the leading location, the leading country in the world for foreign direct investment. We need to ensure that our competitiveness, as Anne has mentioned, as a country is improved, so that we can continue to attract the FDIs into this country by ensuring the 12.5% corporation tax is maintained.
But well, I want to turn to Anne Sweeney and say, Anne, what do you have to offer here that's innovative? What do you have to say that's new?
Well, first of all, it's fascinating that somebody has been cut by 29,500 a year on their salary, because it shows that we have two very different societies operating within, let's say, Donegal for the sake of discussion. If your cuts can be 30,000 a year or 29,000 a year, it shows that there's a very different world out there between those working in the small business sector and those working in the state sector. I'm also very concerned that the internship is only going to be made available, as Breen has said here, to state jobs or within the state infrastructure, because those are the businesses that are not actually generating any money. They're actually being fed by the small taxpayers. But what I'm suggesting in terms of education for young people is that at 18 years of age, a young person can go on the dole and get €100 a week. They cannot go to university and get €100 a week. they're dependent on a grant which they may or may not get. Therefore, the whole system is skewed at the moment for people not to progress with their education. And what I would like to see is we create a wealth so that everybody has got free education. And when it comes to fourth-year student nurses, I think that fourth-year student nurses should be treated exactly the same as all other fourth-year students, that there should be a proper education training allowance, that they get the whole way through their training, that is progressive from their first to their second to their third years, and that rises depending on how they progress with their exams. In terms of job creation, we in Dunfanaghy, for example, have four very, very capable people on a community employment scheme out collecting litter and trimming hedges and the like of that. If those people were put into local businesses rather than a community employment scheme, they would be supporting those small businesses to be able to be far more effective and for the business costs to be reduced. They would also be getting real on-the-job training and would very, very probably be able to be employed. So that's how I would deal with it. In terms of the young people leaving the country, we are educating them. It is our duty and our responsibility to find a way of keeping them. But if we look at the past governments, what we need is the decision-making to come back to local level for us to decide what kind of a society we want and how we can collectively sustain the future of the whole county. Because there's lots of ideas for business that are not getting through. You have development agencies making the decisions, whereas lots of people in small communities don't get any opportunity to do so.
No, can I just want to cut across for just a moment because we do need to move on. There's a couple of points I want to put to you that are coming in from our listeners, people who are ringing. And I have to say, a lot of calls are coming through on Fine Gael's Irish language proposals. People very concerned at the idea of the Irish language being dropped as a compulsory subject in the latter part of secondary school heading toward the Leaving Cert. Tina McGinley, it's an issue that's come up for discussion before. It's on the agenda again as far as Fine Gael is concerned. Is this one area in which Fine Gael is in danger of losing support?
Well, first of all, Fine Gael have initiated a debate, almost a national debate, on this important subject, the importance of the language. People are focusing in on it being optional post-junior certificate. The language is a huge area, and it would take us a full programme to discuss it, but it's been a compulsory subject in this country almost since the foundation of the state. And there have been a number of recent reports carried out by the Department of Education and by linguistic people, where the language at the moment is in crisis in this country, not alone in Gaeltacht areas, and we are all some as well, Breen and I would be from Gaeltacht days, and we see what is happening there, but in the educational system itself, that there's been a drastic fall off in the standard of Irish in the classroom. And Fine Gael are trying to address this and come up, or how are we going to make it better, more relevant, and raise the standards. Enda Kenny is very fluent in Irish. His own family have gone to all Irish schools, and he is concerned. And he told me if they went to an ordinary school, ordinary primary school, they wouldn't have the fluency, but they have it by going to the all Irish school. Now, first of all, we need to improve the standard of Irish and teacher training colleges so that we have.
Can I ask you a bald, straight question? Yeah. Will Fine Gael drop Irish as a compulsory subject for the Leaving Cert?
I'll answer that when I make 2 points. First of all, we want to have more Irish, a higher standard of Irish in the schools, and we second want to have more emphasis on the spoken Irish in the Leaving Cert, 50%, which would be a great advantage to Gaeltacht people. Thirdly, we want to offer points, bonus points for entry into third level to those who attain a high standard of Irish, and we want to have a more meaningful role for the Irish language college and have people coming there throughout the year instead of a few weeks during the summer. Having said that, people are focusing, justifiably focusing in, on it being optional after the intercept. I have discussed this with our party leader, and there will be no change, there will be no immediate change until all interested parties and linguists international repute, that they will all be consulted to see what the result will be. Will it be detrimental to the language or not? The reason we are doing this is that we know that the language is in crisis in the Gaeltacht and outside the Gaeltacht. We're trying to get ways to address it.
Yes, I mean, I would be fundamentally, both personally and the party, fundamentally opposed to Enda Kenny's plans to make Irish an optional subject for the Leaving Certificate. It would have an absolute enormously damaging effect and impact on Gaeltacht areas in particular. If you take the Gaeltacht areas, Donald, some over 25,000 students from outside of Gaeltacht areas go to the Irish summer colleges on an annual basis. That's worth over €10 million to the Donegal Gaeltacht alone. The Mreti and the College de Gaeilge are dependent on that. Now, I think Fine Gael have got this one wrong, and I know that they have issued a statement to look at review, you know, consulting with the interested parties, but what I would be saying to Enda Kenny is this. The people of the Gaeltacht are saying clearly they don't want Irish to be optional, and I think that he should reverse the decision immediately. And I would say, I would agree with Denny on this point, that we do need to look at reforming the teaching of Irish within the state.
Frank McBurdy.
But reforming doesn't mean abolishing.
Frank McBurdy.
Well, I don't have the luxury of being able to speak Irish because I actually started school in Scotland. But I would be a very big supporter of the Irish language because my own kids who are at the Dale College, and my daughter who's at university, all learned Irish at school. But I think one of the most fundamental issues is the way Irish is taught has to be looked at. We need to have a better system that people like myself can pick up Irish and be able to speak it. I mean, the Gaeltacht area is very lucky in Donegal South West because they have two TDs, they have a senator, they have an MEP. So I think it's fundamental that the Irish language is protected. But in the Finn Valley, people don't speak Irish on a daily basis, which I think is sad in general for Donegal. But I would like to think that in government that I would be a person that would fully support the Gaeltacht areas concerning Irish.
2 points that have just arisen, which are quite fascinating. Well, not really, I suppose, in the course of this debate. One, Fine Gael are now going to review it, a bit like what Fianna Fáil are going to do about the student nurses. However, what I would like to say in relation to the Irish language is that I would love to see it made compulsory right through to Leaving Cert, but I certainly would like to see it delivered completely differently. I think there needs to be more focus on it within the community. There needs to be more outreach. There needs to be a much more lighter approach and a pleasurable approach taken to how it's delivered. And I would even go so far as to say that perhaps in primary schools that a lot of the stuff should be taught through Irish. And that, of course, will mean a major review on the whole thing. But in terms of cultural tourism, it's one of our greatest assets, and it's one that I think we should be building on for the future.
Thank you. Another issue that we're getting lots of calls about, and it's been an issue, I'm sure, on the doorsteps as well, is pursuant to a recent European court decision regarding the X case, a lot of concern about what may happen in terms of the abortion issue. Will the incoming Dáil legislate in favour of abortion? What's going to be done about that issue? Can I ask you, as briefly as possible, please, in turn, to give me your position, Anne Sweeney?
I think abortion should never be necessary and that we should work towards keeping that within the legislation.
My view on this is very clear, and I've spoken to many people on it. If legislation is introduced on the issue of abortion, I will be voting against it, whether that means losing the party whip or not.
Danny McGinley?
More or less the same. I've had numerous letters and communications from people who are concerned about this matter, and as far as I am concerned, it's no, no, no as well.
And Fermor Bertie?
I personally don't agree with abortion, and a lot of people out there know my position on this, and the same as Breena Donal, if I lost the party whip over it, I would lose the party whip because I would not vote for it. But what the public have to know is the European Court of Human Rights decision is going to cause the Irish government, whatever Irish government is in place, it's going to cause them serious problems down the line. But from a personal point of view, I don't agree with abortion.
And you're very welcome back to this special pre-election debate looking at the Donegal South West constituency. I beg your pardon. We have another 10 minutes or so to go before we wrap things up. We're joined in studio by Labour Councillor Frank McBrearty, by Fine Gael Deputy Dylan McGinley, by Fianna Fáil Senator Breena O'Donnell, and by Independent Anne Sweeney. One of the issues that we touched on earlier, but I didn't perhaps explore with all the candidates, is the issue of health. I think it comes up in every election. I want to go to you, Dylan McGinley. The health issue, it's one we've discussed on several occasions before. It's always cropping up on the doorsteps. In terms of Letterkenny General Hospital, in terms of its status, in terms of the money being invested into it, what can you offer to the people of Donegal?
Well, first of all, our spokesman in health, James Riley, who has been almost a regular visitor to Letterkenny General Hospital and has been very supportive at the development that is ongoing there, 100% committed to it. We are also 100% committed to having radiotherapy here in the northwest, located in Altnagelvin. There were some question marks there a few weeks ago. You had it on the radio that the Northern Ireland minister said that funding may not be available to finance the ongoing provision of this service. And I discussed it with Dr. James Riley and did get a written letter and sent it on to the organisation, to Noel, saying that in government we would be very supportive of this. And in fact, when the cancer strategy was introduced a number of years ago, I was the first in the Dáil to say what was wrong with a line north of Dublin Galway. Health in general is not operating properly. We need a complete overhaul, a reconstruction of the health service, and we have a plan where universal health insurance based on the Dutch model, based on the Canadian model, where everyone will be entitled to health on the basis of need rather than ability to pay. For instance, there's a hospital near me, Dunloe Hospital, an excellent facility, a community hospital. I'm a regular visitor there, excellent staff, good facilities, and it's unbelievable that there are 15 beds that cannot be occupied in that hospital due to cutbacks in the health service. They do not replace any nursing staff, any nurses who retire or who are on maternity leave or on sick leave. That is unacceptable. The health service is disintegrating. And I'm glad to say that Frank McBrearty here and the Labour Party, the Sinn Féin Party, and even the Independents, and hopefully Fianna Fáil, will realise that what we have at the moment, we can keep pouring money into it, billion after billion after billion, and there's very little noticeable improvement unless you change the system.
Are you effectively going to change the system by making VHI membership compulsory?
Absolutely not. There would be no, that would be your universal health insurance, and you'll pay by ability to pay, and some people won't have to pay at all. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
But is that paid to government, or is it paid to an insurance company?
It's paid to government. They're an insurance company, and there's government. That has yet to be finally decided. And if there is a coalition government, there will be a compromise there. But it's something that is working in other countries, and until we get a system like that, it's not acceptable that in a general hospital there are private beds and public beds. If you have a public hospital, you have public beds. If people want to go to a private hospital, they can go to the private hospital. And that is the great difficulty we have, that the mix does not operate efficiently, and that we're not getting best value for money. And unless we change the system, in 10 years' time, we'll still be talking about the difficulty we have with health in this country. Other countries have done it. They've done it in the continent. They've done it in Canada. It's another country. And it's there, and it's for us. And it's going to take, unfortunately, some time to do it. You're not going to do it in a year or two. It is a process. And the sooner we get we initiate that process, the sooner we will address the long-term difficulties we have with the provision of health in this country.
Breena O'Donnell, over the past number of years, the HSC was supposed to solve all our problems. The HSC was going to address everything that was wrong with the old health board system. Now most people appear to be saying, oh, we wish we had the old health boards back. This has been one huge failed experiment, hasn't it?
Well, I would agree with that comment to some extent. I do believe that the localised aspect of the old health board system was much better because there was much more of a local input into the decision-making process. The HSC is an enormous giant of a project that's centrally focused, and I think there has to be reform of the HSC, but the question of following the Dutch model in terms of an insurance where the money would follow the patient. The Dutch model The average family in Holland pays approximately €5,000 per year for that insurance. So I'm not sure that families in Ireland could afford that. And then the families, of course, that couldn't and that aren't working, who is going to pay for their health insurance? Was it the people, the taxpayer that's working? You're further burdening the taxpayer. So I'm not so sure that model has been fully explored. Now, I suppose the most important thing in the Northwest here that has been mentioned is the radiotherapy treatment unit in Altnagalvin, Derry. The Irish government have provided money towards the capital construction cost of that project and are providing about a third of the running cost of that project when the project is built post 2015, because approximately 400 patients from Donegal will avail of the services in Derry. But it's the Northern Executive that are now holding up that project and the Stormont ministers that are holding up the project. But what we have to do is look at what has been achieved. But I think there has to be reforms, and there has to be reforms within the middle management of the HSE, where a large proportion of the HSE budget has been expended on middle management. And it is true to say that people are asking the questions, what do some of these people do? It's coming up at the doors, and I think it has to be challenged by the new government. I don't think we should disband the HSE, because if you do that in the morning, you could end up with hospital closures where there's no money available from the new fund that's proposed to be set up by Fine Gael.
And Sweeney, in terms of the way health is structured, this maybe is one of the areas where independence may fall down, because really, can a group of independents do anything meaningful to change the health system?
Well, if you take it that the Labour Party are dependent on the public sector votes, Fine Gael is selling a model of insurance, Fianna Fáil are proposing more of the same, I think it's critical that we have an independent assessment of how health is delivered, because there is nothing new in the proposals that I can see so far. And what we have got to do as a community, we have got to consult with people and say, what kind of health do you want? And then we have to decide how we're going to implement it. We've got to stop being beholden to Europe, to the European banks, to the IMF, and decide what kind of a society that we want here in Ireland in terms of health. I personally think health service should be free and available universally to everybody. They talk about the Dutch model costing €5,000 a year. As a matter of fact, that's what it costs a family here, because the basic health cover with VHI or with Quin insurance is €3,000. Every time you go to visit the doctor, it's another €50. So it doesn't take very long before you know that you're already actually paying €5,000 a year. So that's what we're paying at the moment. It's far too high. There's lots of people can't afford it. And the biggest single scandal in the middle of it is lots of people cannot afford to take jobs because they can't afford to give up their medical cards. The risk of being caught at a situation where they have to attend the doctor is monumental, and you couldn't expect them to do so. So there's people caught in a poverty trap over not having medical cards, and I believe they should be free to everybody, and that there should be no proposals for private medical health services discussed in our government at all. If private companies want to come in and set it up, that is their business, and let them charge a market price as they consider for their thing. But we're getting confused as to what is the real cost of health service delivery, because we have now doctors practicing in our public hospitals, and you go in and you can't see the doctor today, but if you have a medical card, you can see him within half an hour. It's absolutely scandalous.
Frank McBurty, you're a member of the HSE Consultative Forum. You see it firsthand, the way the HSE operates, and you debate it and discuss it with peers on a regular basis. Do you see Dinny McGinley's suggestion as part of the way out, or do you believe the HSE can be fixed?
Well, the HSE is broken, and I mean, I have raised this publicly about the way the HSE Forum in Galway works. But I mean, my priorities would be, if I'm elected as a TD to represent the people of Donegal, would be to have Letterkenny General Hospital upgraded to regional status because of the geographic location that we are here in Donegal. That extra funding would help patients and help the staff in Letterkenny Hospital, but also the North West has to have a centre of excellence for cancer care. And all the speakers have said here about the radiotherapy and Altnagalvin, that has to be a must for people who are suffering with severe illnesses. But the accountability and honesty and value for money has to be brought back into the HSE. I want to see, I've read the Labour proposals, I agree with the, out of all the policies, I agree personally with the Labour policies, but I would like to see it even go further. My own personal opinion is that every single person in Ireland should be able to avail from a proper health service, whether they're at the top of the ladder with money or at the bottom of the ladder with money. That is without your health, you don't have any wealth. And the issue is, we have to fix the broken system. At this stage, I don't think we can dismantle the HSE because it would cost too much money to revamp and everything else. But there's things in the system that can be fixed. And I see it on a daily basis where people are fighting to get cancer operations, people are fighting to get down to the radiotherapy in Dublin and Galway, the rheumatology clinic in Manor Hamilton, which was taken away from Letterkenny Hospital. The issues here in Donegal are different geographically to any other part of Ireland, and we have to make sure that Donegal avails from the proper services. And I have to say this:
I'm going to have to cut across and say the time has beaten us. If you could make it very brief,
please. Organisations in this county have ensured that we have cancer services that we would never have had by any politician. And I think they have to be congratulated on some of the services that they fought to get. And the bottom line is that if I get elected to Dáil Éireann to represent the people of Donegal, the issues that I have raised there, I will ensure...
And thank you very much indeed for that. I'm afraid time has beaten us. I want to say a very sincere thank you to Labour Councillor Frank McBurty, to Fine Gael Deputy Dinny McGinley, to Fianna Fáil Senator Bruno O'Donnell, and to Independent Anne Sweeney.